look,
some other translations on that. I think the New King James and New American Standard says indescribable gift. The King James says that it is His unspeakable gift. It's something that, as I said, just leaves you speechless. There are no words for the gift of God. And I also like the New Living Translation. It's, I guess, a seldom used translation maybe there. But it says, thank God for this gift that... Thank God for this gift too wonderful for words. Too wonderful for words. Indescribable, unspeakable, wonderful. That's the gift of God. The indescribable gift of God. Ultimately, the indescribable gift of God is the giving of His Son for us. His only begotten Son. So for a few minutes this morning, let's consider the wonderful verse of Scripture here about the indescribable gift of God. We see first that it's from the greatest giver. In verse 15, the first part there, it begins by saying, thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. And God indeed is the greatest giver. You know, I heard the song the other day, and you're going to hear it a lot. You know, you better watch out. You better not cry. You better not pout. I'm telling you why Santa Claus is coming to town. The next verse goes on to say, you know, he's making a list. He's checking it twice. He's going to find out who's naughty and nice. Santa Claus is coming to town. You know, I think our giving sometimes follows that Santa Claus pattern. We know how it works with him. It's okay, those who are good, those who are nice, they get the good things, right? And those that are naughty, well, you get the lump of coal in your stocking, right? And I think that's how our giving sometimes is. We look and we see, you know, the people that we like, that are nice to us, those are the people that we want to go and buy gifts for. But then the people that maybe, you know, we don't care as much for, or maybe they've done bad things to us or whatever, you know, we can scratch them off our list pretty quickly. Now, when it comes to God, His giving is not like our giving. That's not the type of giving that God gives. And that's what makes Him the greatest giver of all. When it comes to His giving, we see He gives in a much different way. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the giving that God gives for us. And then in Romans chapter 5 and verse 9, I don't know if I have that one up there or not. So, in Romans 5 and verse 9, as Malin was speaking to us before we took the Lord's Supper this morning, and he made this point, I think, as well. For God demonstrates His own love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You see, when God gave to us this indescribable gift, this most important gift ever given, we were enemies of His. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You know, when I think about it, there have been many people who have been tremendously generous in giving to various charities. I read Bill Gates and Warren Buffett both have donated over $30 billion to various charitable organizations. And you look at that, $30 billion. It's more than I can really even imagine that amount. And they've given that much away. And we think, wow, what great givers they are. But you know, when we look at those sizable donations and think, what a great gift, it pales in comparison. It's not a drop in the bucket. It can't compare, actually, to the gift that God has given to each one of us. When you think about it, God has nothing to sell. He doesn't sell salvation. He doesn't sell grace. He doesn't sell mercy. He doesn't sell forgiveness. He doesn't sell eternal life. You see, when it comes to God, He gives all those things away. He gives them to us. As a matter of fact, if God decided to put any of those things up for sale, we would be out of luck because there's no way we could ever afford those things because of the great value of those things. So while God's grace and mercy and forgiveness and salvation, eternal life, those things are a gift from Him. And as we just read, He so loved the world, He gave us His only begotten Son. Thanks be to God, the greatest giver. But also, as we consider this, then let's look at the gift. What is this unspeakable, indescribable gift? And it is indeed the greatest gift of all. Webster's defines indescribable as something beyond explanation. And when it comes to what God has given us, it is really beyond what we can explain. And I think even beyond what we can really fully comprehend. The greatness of the gift of God. In our book, song 608 is a song that we often sing. And I think it describes this really well when it talks about the love of God. And really it's the love of God that really is a result of Him giving the gifts that He gives to us. And the first verse says, "The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. Goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair, bowed down with care, God gave His Son to win. His erring child He reconciled and parted from his sin." And the third verse of that song, "Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry. Nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky." And the chorus says, "O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure," the saints and angels song. I think the imagery there says it all. If the whole ocean was ink and the whole skies were parchment, we still couldn't write the love that God has shown for us. It's impossible to do. And that's the indescribable gift, the indescribable love that God has for each of us. There's no human words that can adequately describe God's indescribable gift. But it is the most perfect gift ever. Jesus in Hebrews 4 and verse 15, it says that We do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but was in all points tempted as we are without sin. You see, Jesus is like us in the fact that He was tempted, but He is not like us in the fact that He was perfect. He never sinned. He is the perfect gift because He was sinless. If you think back over the gifts you've received, no doubt you've received some gifts that you wanted, some that you asked for, some that you were really excited about and appreciated, but none of them were perfect gifts. The only perfect gift that you'll ever receive is that of Jesus Christ and all the things that are made possible through Him. As we think about Jesus as well, not only is He the most perfect gift, He is the most precious gift. If you look in Romans, the 8th chapter, verse 31 and 32. Romans 8, verse 31, Paul writes, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him freely give us all things?" You see, it's the most precious gift. Have you ever received something from someone that you knew was very important to them? Something that just meant a lot to them, but they wanted you to have it. Maybe that's what they even said when they gave it to you. You know, I just want you to have it because it's special. You know, that's something that's very special to us because you know it's something very precious to Him. Sometimes, you know, family heirlooms are passed down from generation to generation. And those things are very precious because of what they symbolize and what they mean to someone. We understand the preciousness of certain gifts. God gave us His most precious possession. Jesus meant more to Him than we can ever imagine. And seeing that we were hopelessly lost in sin, and seeing that we were powerless to do anything about it, God looked down upon us with grace and mercy, and He gave us the most precious thing He had, His only begotten Son. The most precious gift ever given. It makes it indescribable, the gift that God gave. We also, as we look at this gift, we understand it was the most permanent gift ever given. I think it's interesting that John 1 and verse 1 and 2, it describes Jesus as being eternal. And when we think of Jesus being eternal, and we think of eternity, I think we think of it from going from now to ever and ever and ever. But another sense of eternity is really going back the other way as well. And again, I think it's more than our minds can fully comprehend. But Jesus has always been. God has always been. And in John 1, it tells us, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. He's always been. He's eternal. He's permanent. You know, one Christmas, my brother Tim and I, we got a go-kart for Christmas. And I don't know what my parents were thinking, but I remember it being one of the coldest Christmas days ever. We tried to get out and ride that thing, and you know, one time around the yard, and you'd be, you know, frozen solid. You had to go in and warm up a little bit. You know, I also remember a few years later, several years later, I guess, my dad got my niece Bailey, you know, the granddaughter, a bicycle, and he also got her a helmet. And he was sure to tell her, you know, make sure you wear your helmet when you ride your bicycle. You know, we got a go-kart, no helmet. it's amazing how grandparents, but that's not the point I'm trying to make. not too long after we had that go-kart, we were pretty rough on it, jumping ditches and doing all kinds of things on it that we probably shouldn't have. And, you know, it was often broken. It often stopped working for one reason or another, and Dad would have to come in from work, and you know, he would fix it and get it running again, and we'd enjoy it for a while, and pretty soon, you know, it would be broken down again. And it kind of went that way in that cycle over the years that we had it, and then eventually I guess our legs grew too long to get on it, and it kind of ended up rusting in the back of the garage. My point is, you know, any gift that we get, that was not a permanent gift. Yeah, it was a really cool gift, and we enjoyed it for, you know, a few years. But eventually, you know, it was not working anymore. It was, you know, it had outgrown, or we had outgrown it, I guess I could say. It was not a permanent gift. And you can think back about most of the gifts, I guess, that you've received over time. You probably, you know, several years ago, don't even have those things still. They either break or maybe they go out of style concerning whatever it is. It's maybe just not something you like anymore or care for anymore. Gifts aren't permanent. But when it comes to Jesus and it comes to this indescribable gift that God has given us, it is a permanent, everlasting gift. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8 tells us about Jesus. And it says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You see, when God gave His only begotten Son, He was the sacrifice for us for once and for all. And He doesn't change. God's plan doesn't change. It's going to be the same. It is now. It was yesterday. It is today and forever. It is a permanent gift. The gift given by God, His only begotten Son, to die on the cross for us is a permanent gift. For all. When we think about the gift of eternal life that's made possible through Christ and His death on the cross, that obviously that's a permanent gift, eternal. It's never going to end. It's a permanent gift. So thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. When we think about God's love, I don't think that we can fully describe it. I don't think we can fully comprehend it. And you may wonder, well, why are you up here preaching on it and trying to do it? I don't know. Because I can't fully appreciate it or put it into words exactly how great the love of God is. How great the gift of sending His Son to die for us is. But this is what we do know, that God does love us. And what we do know is because He loves us, He was willing to give the most precious thing that He had, to give His only begotten Son, so that we can have salvation, so that we can spend an eternity with Him. But the thing is, we can't receive this gift of forgiveness and salvation unless we are obedient to God, unless we are faithful to Him. And that's what He calls us to do. If you're here this morning, you can receive that gift of forgiveness and the hope of salvation and eternal life that goes with that. That permanent gift given by God. You can receive that this morning. Repent of your sins and be baptized and receive that gift of God today. If you've never done that, we urge you to obey the Lord today. If you've done that in the past, maybe as a Christian, have been unfaithful to Him, and you need to come back. You need to have that right relationship with Him again, so that once again you enjoy the gift, the indescribable gift that God gives. We stand ready to help you, pray with you, encourage you, do whatever we can to help you. If you have any need this morning, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.